Okay, we're at the Shattuck Senior Center in Shattuck, Oklahoma, on the 25th day of January, 2001, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're doing an oral history this afternoon on women who lived in Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl. And what I'll have each of you do so we can stay kind of organized and remember who's talking is before we get started the conversation, have each of you, starting with you, one by one, go around and state your name, when you were born, and where. So if you want to go ahead and start, you can.
I'm Elizabeth. I was born May 5th, 1917, right here in Shattuck. Ready?
That's good enough for now.
I went on McClellan early. I was born February 15, 1918, in Ellis County. Ellis County, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I'm Alma Oblander Shino, and I was born 8.5 miles south of Shattuck.
In what year? You want to tell us?
Yeah. May 7th.
Okay, and one more.
I'm Lydia Faust Kellen, and I was born in 1911, in November the 10th.
In Ellis
County? I was born by Fargo, Oklahoma.
Where is that? I don't know where that is.
You just passed it.
It's east of here. There's Gage, and then there's Fargo before you get to Woodrow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, just as to get us kind of started, basically this will progress more like a conversation with you talking and me just asking questions now and again. But we'll start with, did all of you grow up in a rural area, or would you consider it more like you lived in town?
I grew up in a rural area.
And how about you?
I was born and grew up until probably about 10 or 11, something like that, and then my parents moved to town.
Okay.
And then I was more or less a town girl.
Okay, how about the two of you?
I was born in a rural area, and I was out there and lived out in the country until 1935 when I started working.
Oh, okay. And
I lived in the country at the time that we had the dust storms. But I'm living in town here now.
Yeah. Well, since it's kind of evenly distributed of experiences in town and in a rural area, we'll start with the town people first. How would you describe a typical day in the 1930s Depression era time? You're living in town. What was it like? You get up in the morning. What would you have to do? Just on a daily basis.
Well, at that time, I was 16, 17 years old. So I was still a school girl. My typical day was get up and get ready and go to school most days. But the day may have started in pretty good during the day. Maybe the wind came up, and by the afternoon and late afternoon, there would be the wind would have picked up the dust, and the dust would be filtering in, and it would times would it. It was just pretty hard to keep it out of the homes.
Right.
The windowsills and the different things in furniture would be covered with dust. And I remember we had moved to town, and we had a new home to move in. And I still remember that they took some of this, I think what you would call masking tape now,
mm-hmm.
and went around the windows to try to keep the air and the dust out.
Did that work?
Well, it might have helped. It didn't go all together.
Yeah.
But I remember that, and so it was just, I don't think we knew from day to day what kind of weather we would have. It depended upon the wind and how much dirt it would pick up and move.
You're nodding your head. Is this a similar experience that you had?
Well, of course, I went to school out in the country, and we had to walk a little about 2 miles. Mm. And my great-grandma lived in between. We always stopped there, you know, before we either go to school or go back home. And there's a little pond there in the pasture, you know, we always stopped there and skate on that ice. Of course, it wasn't any dust, really, I don't think, when I started to school. This in later years after, well, I think I might have been about 17, 18, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's where I know it's, you know, the dust was. And it's like she said, it come in, I don't know how, but we cleaned the house on Saturday nights, you know. Think, boy, we got everything clean, and here she came.
So was Saturday the usual cleaning day?
Usually, yeah. It was at our house.
So what was the routine for Saturday cleaning day?
Oh, you just dust everything and wax and wash the cabinet off, I think, every week. Mm-hmm. And of course, we tried to paint, like Wilma said, you know, with the windows to kind of keep some of it out. I don't know if it's it in.
What about the two of you?
Well, I was raised in the country, and our routine in the morning was to get up and help with the milking and the chores. Before we went to school, a lot of times we milked 8 to 10 cows and had to do separating. Then we'd go in and pack breakfast and rush off to school. And we had to walk about a mile and a half. In fact, Alice and I started to the same school, for how many years? About 2 or 3 years, I think we went to the same school.
Do you guys know each other then?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like Alice said, there was a pond, but theirs was on the other side. Ours was on the west side, and we'd go skating on that. And I'll never forget that we walked home. They were, Bill and Ophelia, they were older than I was, Bill and Martha. And they said, you're the youngest and the smallest, you get on and see if we can skate across that. I got on, you know, it broke down. And I was in the water about this deep, and we were about a half a mile from home.
Oh.
So we went home, my folks weren't even at home, and changed clothes. And I thought, well, I'll go with my uncle, you know, he was really my uncle, but he was just 3 years older than I was. And he said, well, you go with us, because I spend a lot of time with my grandparents when I was growing up. Well, till I was about 6, till I could work, and then I had to stay at home. And in the late 20s, and I think the early 30s is when that dust storm came. And at that time, I was going to high school with Shattuck. And I had to catch the bus, and a lot of times at night my folks wouldn't, if it was nice enough to walk at all, I had to walk home 2 miles, and I walked about a mile, and I had an aunt living, and I'd always stop there, and she'd have cookies or something for me to eat, and then I'd go walk that other mile, and then I had to walk about another half a mile and take the cows home to milk. Took them home, and then we'd do the chores, and the dust, mother was very particular. She did, at that time, you know, the windows in those old houses, there was a crack you could almost put your finger in it. We don't have that now. And mother'd stick rags in there, and put sheets in front of the windows, because the dust would come in. You couldn't even in front of the door see the color of the linoleum. Mm. And we never thought too much about it. I don't think, you know, if the dust would get in and it was dusty, but we got so used to it or something. I can't remember that we'd complain.
Yeah.
But
do you remember the first time you experienced a dust storm and what that was like? Were you scared of it? Or?
Well, I'll tell you, the only time that I really remember that I was scared was when that dark Sunday, maybe you've heard of that.
Yeah.
That was Easter Sunday.
Yeah, Black Sunday.
And I'll never forget that, because we had baby chickens at the time. And Mother, it was such a nice morning. It was a bright, sunshiny morning. And Mother said, I'm going to turn those baby chickens out and pen. And she did. And we were in the house, and I don't know, Mother went out, and she said, oh, my, we better get the chickens in. In the north, it just looked like a banquet. It was dark. It was real dark. It was coming up dusk. And, you know, by the time we got that done, it wasn't very long. That came so fast. It rolled in like smoke almost. It didn't blow, you know, it was so dusty.
It wasn't that much wind yet, but there was probably some wind, but not a great lot of wind.
But the dust, it was so full of dust. There was all that dust. And I don't know, some of them said that dust came from Colorado and Kansas. I mean, but it was such a black dust. And Mother said, after we got the chickens in, she said, let's go to the cellar. Oh, my mother had. And we went to the cellar, and before we got to the cellar, well, we was going down, and she closed the cellar door, and you know, it was just black. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And so we went to the cellar, and I don't know, I think it was an old lantern Mother had down there. She lit it, and you couldn't even hardly see. The cellar wasn't from here, maybe just a few feet, but the air was so full of dust. The light wouldn't even penetrate through that hardly.
It was scary.
It sounds like it would be scary.
And it was the last day of the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of them thought. In fact, we had a neighbor, he said, I thought that was the end of the world. But it scared the people. They were scared. And now, I did not see this, but several of the people said there was birds ahead of us. Now, I did not see that. But the neighbor said there was birds flying ahead of that storm. And my dad, he was out on the road, and he didn't make it home, you know. He just stayed in the car, an old pickup he had. And he said, you just felt like you were going to choke. You know, that dust was just, you couldn't hardly breathe. And then we decided, after it got lighter, when we came out of the cellar. I don't know how long that took, maybe about, it seemed to me like an hour, but I don't think it was that long. And but anyway, we, you know, Todd went for so dark. So we came out, and Mother looked around. It was still pretty dark, and she said, oh, look at the old hens. They're all dead, and they were laying in the yard. And just on the sides, you know, sitting there. And she went and picked one up, and she said, no, they're alive. Let's put them in the chicken. So we picked those chickens up. They did not move hardly, and carried them in the chicken. And they were just a spool of dust.
Must have been the atmospheric pressure or something.
Well, I think it was that dirt, you know, their eyes, and it was terrible.
Do you remember any other kind of signs from animals that something was coming?
I don't remember too much about that.
Well, before that black came?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we weren't home at the time before it started. So I don't know. I know the chickens went in the chicken house and they got dark and didn't come out until it got daylight.
Well, ours were laying around some of them outside.
But it was bad looking.
You know, really, we didn't have time, I don't think, to look at the animals. It came so quick, you know.
Give us that much time to prepare for it. I remember how I became aware of this rolling cloud of dirt coming in. Mm-hmm. And I had a little brother that was out playing with a neighbor boy. And I knew I had to locate him and get him in, you know, get him home. And so I would call and holler. And at first he wouldn't answer. I guess he thought he didn't realize that this was urgent. Anyway, he finally answered, and I just got him home just very shortly before this whole cloud rolled in, dirt cloud.
Did you have any experiences with family members or people that you knew getting lost in a dust storm?
Not that I know. Now, we had dust pneumonia.
Yeah.
I know, but it was just that patients had pneumonia and towels were hung up, and they fixed kind of a room. I know our neighbor, their daughter had pneumonia. They just hung sheets, fixed a little room, you know, and hung sheets. And because I don't know, the people at that time were so poor. You know, they didn't have the money, I guess, to stay in the hospital. I don't know how come they didn't stay.
Well, I know of some people that lived by Beaver, and their child kept taking testimony, and they finally went over into Missouri and located there just to get that child out of this.
So they would leave in order to protect their child.
And a lot of people probably that couldn't make a living on their farms anymore, I guess you could know about the Graves of Wrath, which I don't think portrays everything just right, but that's not for me to judge. But they go on. I know some people went to Colorado, some went to California.
The people that you knew personally, friends or family that left?
Yeah. That went, I had one sister that went out to, I don't know just what year that was, went out to California, and the other sister went to Colorado. I guess the younger ones, some of the younger ones just thought maybe they'd do better someplace else. But it was pretty desperate and desolate around here. The sand would come, would drift up to cut, maybe to cover up the posts, and maybe some machinery, and you may have noticed some of those pictures where the sand would drift and cover up some of the machinery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I know, at least that high under the fence. You know, it'd come up to the first fence row, some of it, especially where there was plowed ground.
Uh-huh.
And there was times that even that the visibility was down to, I think, a half a mile, maybe 2 feet. It was dusty.
But I guess it still wasn't as bad here as it was like out of Del Mar, Texas.
Yeah.
I guess it was terrible out there. I think the dust was covered the fence posts out there.
That's hard to imagine when you try to picture it now.
I know.
You tell the younger kids about this, the grandkids, and they can't imagine it. Oh, those were...
Well, I just don't remember exactly what years that was that some of my sisters left, but she was married, and her husband went out to Colorado to do better.
Why do you think that you and your family stayed?
We didn't have money to go anywhere.
Depression was on too. That's another thing.
We didn't have to stay here and make the best of it.
It was our home.
The farmers were quite self-contained. I mean, they had cows for milk, they had chickens for eggs, and they had their cream, and so they pretty well were able to, if they had cows and things like that, too.
But when those that had too many cattle who didn't have no feed, the government came and killed them.
Yep, paid them what was it?
Paid them
$8 and $10 for a cow.
What was the Shattuck community reaction to that? What was the reaction to that here of killing the cow?
Well, there's nothing they could do.
Nothing they could do. There was no feed to feed them.
And the cows would starve.
Of course, we didn't have very many. We just started out farming, and we didn't have any of ours killed. And we just had a milk or two or three milk cows, and we had a few horses. We still farmed with horses at the time. And so we just did what we could to get by.
milking cows was our living.
Yeah,
because
chickens, eggs was.
And we had two. Eggs. Okay, go ahead. We had two children. The one was 5 and the other was 1 year old. And it's hard to keep the diaper floors dry.
I bet. Tell me about doing laundry. Just that, not necessarily because it's during the Dust Bowl, just in general, you know, if you have electricity, you don't have electricity, how are you doing laundry? What is the process of that?
We didn't have no diapers that we could buy. We just had to make them ourselves out of material, and we had to wash them and use them and wash them again.
On the washboard.
Yeah, well, at that time I already had a washing machine with a gas motor. But one day the sun was shining, you made sure you washed and hung it out, and the next day the storm came in again. It was just changing off to where if you'd clean out one day when it was nice, the next day it came all in again. We had a house that the dust came in from the top and from the bottom. We had rented that place. It didn't have no foundation, it just had rocks for foundation. And the ceiling was at those wood boards, you know. I don't know if you know them. They were about that wide.
Ooh, and those ceiling boards.
And they had cracks.
Uh-huh.
And when the storm was a-blowing, it came from the top. And and the floor had cracks, too. So it lifted up the linoleum that wasn't fastened.
There was no carpet.
That was,
which might have been a good thing, actually.
Yeah. And that was
good. There you go.
Had to make do with what we had. I'm still doing it.
You know, the people that had rugs or carpeting, they weren't fastened down. They were just laid, and they were taken out and hung on the line, and we beat the dust out with a broomstick or something.
And in the windows, like the ladies were saying, we'd take rags and stick the cracks around the window, you know, the window pane, and then put sheets or blankets over it while the dust was blowing. And then, of course, we had a 1 year old. I always had to put a sheet over his bed. Had a baby bed, you know, that wasn't very big, and to keep. So he could breathe without getting all the dust. That was a lot of fun.
It sounds like a real blast.
Well, do you know, when we had a nice day, we'd almost work ourselves to death.
Oh, yeah, we'd just work. We didn't have nothing to worry about. The next dust storm coming in, yeah. We knew what was coming.
What was coming.
I guess we had droughts along with...
Oh, yeah.
Which... Uh-huh. And what we had this past summer, mm-hmm. when it didn't rain for how long? 2 months.
Yeah, but that wasn't anything.
Yeah, but if that would have prolonged very long, where everything would have burned up.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know when it rained then to make things grow.
I think the Reuben said it was around 37 and 38. My husband knows more about this than I do. rained, and where the people, the price is kind of stable. I see the wheat was down to 25 and 35 bushels, I think. All
cents.
A bushel.
25 cents.
25 cents a bushel. And what we do, the way we made our living, there were 3 girls in the family, and every week, it was usually on Fridays, we'd bring the cream and the eggs we got to town and bought the gas and the necessities, and it what was left. We bought groceries or such. But now, we did our own butchering. We had all of our own meat. And we had to can that at that time. There was no ice.
Yeah. How do you can meat? What's the process that goes that?
Well, I don't think it would keep anymore. But...
We canned the meat?
Uh-huh.
With the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Huh. And you put it in charge, you know, and put the seasoning on there and put it in that cooker, and it set it. I don't remember just how it was. But anyway, you had it in there so long and then opened up and took it out after the steam was down. And it was sealed and everything. Put it in the cellar.
Well,
I remember it was good meat.
Yes, it was. You'd cut junk like roast, and it was just like roast, and it was so tender.
Yeah.
Well, my mother didn't have.
They would fry it, what you would call fry it down, and they'd have these big crocks, and they put the meat, fry it, and put the meat in the crocks, mm-hmm. and then pour the grease over it, and the grease would seal it, that it would preserve it.
Yeah.
And all you'd have to do is dig some of that meat out and heat it up, and it was delicious.
Huh. What was your favorite food?
Anything that was eatable.
You didn't have one thing you thought, oh, this is a big day because we're having this today.
Do you know, that's one thing we always had. We made a lot of ice cream every
yeah.
time that we had cake. And that was 2-3 times a week. And at that time, there was natives living around there. And we'd call them and fix a freezer ice cream. And I still like crackers with ice cream. That's okay.
Crackers with ice cream. I've never heard anybody
that. We had fruit food for
good.
Saturday night, supper. Mm-hmm. And Sunday we had fried chicken.
And that was good fried
bread.
Chicken.
Huh?
And that was good fried chicken.
It was homegrown.
We were a big family. We'd always have to have about 5 to 6 chickens.
Oh, how many people were in your family?
Well, if they were all home, there was 14 kids and mom and dad.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his and hers and ours. You look at that meal.
He doesn't quite
get it. I figured it out.
Have you figured it
yeah.
out?
That was before the dust storms. I was married when we had the dust storms.
Yeah.
I had a question. You said that you didn't think it would keep today. You didn't think that about canning meat.
I don't think, because I don't know, times have changed. Do you know that I canned some meat when it was 30 years? We were still out on the farm. And do you put it down in the cellar and the grease would get
soft?
And I had to bring it up and put it in the ice box. Well, then we got the deep freezes and we quit canning meat. But that steak used to be delicious. We'd fry it, you know, and Mother put some in charge and that grease, like she said.
Yeah.
And it was just as tender to cut it with a fork.
Huh.
And that German wurst was good, too, canned.
Yes, we always canned wurst, you know. So
a lot of them had the geese and the ducks, and they would butcher them and fill, I know my mother-in-law had filled them with
half a gallon jars
with the meat, and she put hers in the oven and had it cooking so long in the oven, and then when it was done, to take it out and seal the lids.
Yeah, we have to turn the jars over. All
you know how we get ours? We had boilers where we boil our clothes sometimes, you know, because you couldn't get them. And we used that boiler to can.
That's what we did. We do that.
I've never seen a boiler.
I have a pressure pan. I don't know how to use it, but I have one.
No, we just have one of those long boilers.
They were big round.
Up the bottom.
You could put about 5 or 6 quart jars in.
How late would these old washers that you put on 2 burgers, you know, to heat the water?
What do you mean?
Water
pack.
We just water packed ours. Mm-hmm. We never had a...
Huh.
Yeah, my folks, they had a steamer. You know,
but we didn't have
steam cooker.
We did like Alice.
And I think there was 5 or 6 quart jars and 4 of the half-gallon jars that did it in there.
And we dressed the geese and the ducks. I know Mother used to always have 20 or more geese and that many ducks. And the neighbors, we'd get all the neighbors around. We were all in the same boat. I guess we were all poor. And we raised our own poultry and our beef and meat and all of that. We never did buy meat. In fact, I still have problems sometimes when I go to buy meat. We lived on the farm and we always butchered our own. In fact, her husband butchered for years.
Yeah, he did ours too.
And
And he butchered for all the neighbors.
Yes, and the neighbors.
And finally he butchered for the Bisbee store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he butchered for us for years. Almost as long as since we were married.
So what did you guys do for fun?
For what?
What would you do for fun and entertainment?
We didn't have any time.
Oh, no, you must have done something to mark a special day that was kind of fun.
Well, we'd go to church and
neighbors
with our friends and the neighbors. Listen, there was a lot of visiting done that night.
Yeah.
At that time, there was no TV. And
well, at that time, there was no TV, and they all went and visited.
And we'd visit. It wasn't like it is now. And we'd go to the apple orchard.
And tell me about that.
That was something to look forward to once a year in the fall. We usually went and got about, I don't know,
five or six
bushels of apples, and they were put in the cellar. And you know, they kept most of the winter.
Yeah, they went to the south by the river there. They
the apple orchard. He says, we kids had always been going wagons. Now, see, my folks, I don't think, had a car until I was 23 years old, and they had a buggy when I was small. And Dad had a horse. And Mother, when they got married, she had enough money saved up, and she bought this buggy, you know. And it seated about three and had a top on it. And I will never forget one night we came home, we're coming home from church, and there was our neighbor, Baker, had an old wheel. And Dad said, I'm going to pass him with the horse and buggy. And Mother said, you better. And he passed him, and we got home quite a bit while before they even passed our place. But
those were the days.
Those were the days.
I'll have to tell you about the ducks. My folks used to raise a lot of ducks, and we had a pond pretty close. And of course, in the evening when they come in, they follow each other. And I know my cousin was there. He wasn't very big at that time. He said, Aunt Mary, that looks like a funeral. I was so thrilled about that. He thought they looked like a funeral.
Good eating, best of.
Mom used to fix the best ducks. Mm-hmm. Old rain, she would.
Go ahead.
And we raise our own, we have big garden. And that's what we lived on the wintertime. You know, we canned a lot of stuff, Mother would.
It was too dusty in the dust storm days to raise garden.
Yeah, but how did we get, we still had, I don't remember.
I don't know, but I know when the bad storms were in Norman was born in 34, and he was a year old, so it would have been 36 or 35 or 36.
That was 35.
When that terrible storm was.
Mm-hmm. You asked about his family left and moved away. Not so much a family, but there was other people that from the area that... Mm-hmm. I know my husband's had a couple of uncles that went on out to California.
Yeah. Did they stay there?
Yeah. Stayed there. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Forgive me, some of the people that moved to Virginia, they moved back after the best.
Well, now, Delhart, those people that went to Delhart, they got... I guess they kind of got blowed out, huh?
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, most of them came back later.
Lost their, whatever they had, the land opened up out there. Mm-hmm. And people would go out there and buy land and go in and break the sod. Mm-hmm. And evidently it's a type of land, and which is much of it around here, should never have been broken up. But then when it got dry and the winds came by, it was not good.
Was there ever anyone that said, hey, don't do that, that's going to be bad, to those people who were breaking up that land?
Well, that's why they buy it, you know, to that's how all of this got under cultivation. People would come in here, homestead, and a quarter of land, and then they'd buy another quarter, and in order to raise wheat and crops, you had to get in there and break up the sod. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when my dad's parents moved down here, he was 8 years old. It was on his 8th birthday. And they came from Lehigh, Kansas. There was a bunch of those German people came from Lehigh, Kansas, and this strip was open for homesteading. And I know my grandpa came down the year before and filed on this place. And Dad was telling us when they came from Lehigh, Kansas, they came on the train, and they brought, I think there was five children in. And the twins were just about 3 months old. Okay. And he said it took 24 hours until they got to Shattuck. And then some neighbors that were already out here, they came and picked them up. And they went out there, and that night he said they slept under the wagon. They turned the wagon over and slept under that. Hmm. And I think Grandma and the two little ones went to the neighbors. Hmm. And Dad said that what were they filed there? There was nothing, none of that land was broke. It was all sod. And the first year, he said him and Grandpa plowed with a walking plow 35 acres. And that's where they started putting wheat and feed and growing there.
Yeah, they can farm like they farm now. Now they farm hundreds of acres. We had to do a lot of work with the horses, wouldn't we?
Well, we used to, you know, work with people. I never did work with horses.
Yeah, I did. I
did drive the header barge.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was fun. I got a nickel a day.
The row crop, I don't remember. I don't know how many. I think I had just two or three horses out of once or four. I don't remember that. But anyway, I had to watch, you know, the row crop, so uh-huh. I didn't get over too far this way or that way.
That wasn't easy to do.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't have to do that much. Now, Dad got a tractor. I think I was about 10. Yeah. And he let me run that tractor. Taught me how to run that. And I plow a lot of times in the summer. And help him with the plowing. And that time those old tractors, you know, they had those logs on the wheels. Didn't have no tires.
Well, this is changing the subject a little bit, but I wanted to ask you if you remembered any like tramps, hobos, or wayward people coming through and wanting food or work, and what happened when those people?
I remember. It was on a Sunday morning. I think we was going to have company, and Mother had fixed a bunch of pies, you know, and had a pantry, and they was out there in the pantry, and come from, Mama said, "Well, where's our pies?" They were gone. So I imagine some of them come in and help themselves. We didn't lock doors at that time.
Gypsies. I remember a band of gypsies who would come through. Vaguely, I don't know any particular dealings with them.
Just to clarify the difference between a gypsy and a hobo, what would be the difference?
I don't know if I've ever seen gypsies. I think they're more like hobos.
Yeah.
Well, gypsies were a kind of...
that were selling things? And
they had, yeah, they would want, I think, would have something to sell or trade or...
Trade for chickens or something, wasn't that what you'd call?
But they were of a darker... Mm-hmm.
They looked more like a Mexican.
Yeah, they weren't Mexicans, but they were...
I think they could hypnotize you.
Anyway, I think most kids were kind of scared. Either the parents scared them, you know, not to... I don't know.
Were you scared of them? So they can hypnotize you. Were you scared? Were you scared of the gypsies? You said they could hypnotize you.
Yeah, I was scared. I wouldn't let them come in the house if they would have come to the yard, because they look kind of scary. And what you did hear about them, they try to steal things, get you some way or another. We never had any of that bothered us, but the stories I used to hear, I've seen some, but that's what I heard. They could hypnotize and they make you give things you wouldn't want to give.
Well, I remember the tramps, but we never had no gypsies that I know of.
What do you remember about the tramps?
Well, I remember 3 or 4 times where they'd come up and wanted food, and the folks would give them food. And it was usually towards evening, and they'd sleep in the barn.
Yeah.
On the straw or hay, and I know Dad always said, now, ask them if they smoked, because he wasn't going to let them sleep in there if they did. But I don't guess they did, because, and then in the morning, they'd be up early and knock at the door, and Mother'd give them some food, and they'd leave.
Did your dad ever have them do any work around? No?
No, you couldn't depend on the mother. Because they were just traveling, they'd walk, traveling too.
And there's a lot of them on the railroad tracks.
Yes.
And a lot of them on freight trains. Because
yeah.
We were just a quarter of a mile before I moved in here from the railroad.
Yes.
They wanted something to eat or... Mm-hmm. I never let them in the house. Just handing them out whatever they wanted, I mean, for to eat.
What about bed bugs? I've heard a lot of people tell us stories about bed bugs.
I didn't have any.
From what I've heard, that's a good thing, because they sound like a real pest.
Yeah, we.
I know, I knew people that did, and it was a mess.
What did you do after you had the bed bugs?
Oh, they had yellow things that had powder in them.
Yeah.
And we just, they'd get in those little cracks around the mattress.
Uh-huh.
And we just squeeze that in there and kind of got rid of them. Uh-huh. How they ever get started, I don't know.
I worked for some people that had some, and at those days, the beds had those wire springs.
Yes.
And we take kerosene or something like that with a feather brush, you know, from the bees, the wings, and dip in the kerosene and just painted all that spring and the bedstead. And if you had a old house that was papered, they were working themselves in there when there was a crack, and they got the young ones in there some more. So they had a dip. If they didn't use the kerosene on the wall, you know, on the washboards or wherever, why they used that powder. That's what we did at that place where...
We never had any. The first bed bug I saw was when I was... Go ahead.
Some people that had babies, you could tell they had the bugs were... biting them, and they had red spots.
Little red bumps on them. Huh? Little red bumps on them.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I know a story. Experience with it, but I can remember.
A story that my mom told me. There was a lady, she had a baby, and it had all the red specks, and then they said to her, what I called her by name, You must have bed bugs. Your baby's all, you know, red spotted. She says, well, that's nothing. Everybody's got bed bugs.
Don't know if she really thought that or just said it, but...
Maybe she thought it was like that.
I think I'm talking to
you. No. You know more about that than we do.
You mentioned when you worked for another family. What were you? What did you do?
Mostly babysit.
Yeah.
That was before I was married.
What was the going rate for a babysitter then?
what I got for babysitting.
What? How much? Yeah, how much did you get paid to babysit?
Oh, I got something to eat and a place to sleep.
Yeah.
And maybe some material to make a dress or something, or maybe some hand-me-downs.
Pretty good though.
That was all right when you didn't have nothing.
That's right. Do you ever have clothes or make clothes out of feed sacks?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Everything that could be sewed together, we made out of feed sacks.
They buy so many sacks of the same material, you know, a feed, so they would have enough material for whatever they want.
We used to have a feed store, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
And made tea towels. I always liked
it. I don't know about when we had our feed store. It was mostly in paper.
I still have towels.
I still have a few, too. I think that were made. They were new yet.
Mm-hmm. And you could get the plain ones, the kind of an acro color, and you could make curtains or sheets out of them. Yeah. Sewed together.
In fact, I've still got a sheet that Mother sewed together for feed sacks. And I still use that, you know, to cover things up. And they were new yet when I...
That was good material.
It was.
It must have been.
Mother fixed our dresses and blouses out of that when we went to school. And a lot of people had dresses.
And I made shirts for my boys. Anything that could be sewed.
Did you have a favorite pattern? One that stands out? Do you remember searching for this pattern? You really liked it on the feed sack?
Well, if I had a shirt that was wore out, I ripped it open and used it as a pattern, or also a dress and aprons and whatever.
Woman we were talking to this morning mentioned that her mother would look through catalogs and then make her own pattern after seeing something in a catalog.
That's what my mother did a lot of times. She'd have something to fit and she'd cut it, you know. Well, Ellis, I bet you've done that. She's a seamstress.
I wasn't much of a seamstress.
I had
a pattern. I couldn't look at the picture and just make it.
What would you say is your fondest memory from that time? Something that, you know, you think back, you know, things were bad, we didn't have a lot of money, and there was dust, but this part of it was pretty good.
I think people were closer. I mean... Yes, it's... They were... Now it seems like if you want to go see somebody, maybe you better call first.
That's right.
See if they're home or if they're watching their favorite story or something. But again, I don't take the time to call. I'm one of those that don't do much calling.
What about the rest of you? What do you think? What's your fondest memory from this?
Well, I think the visit a lot. You know, we didn't have much people to go to with, but I know we did a lot of visiting, and we always had company.
Yeah.
Get together with my cousins. We'd even walk 2 or 3 miles to get together.
That's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we walked.
And we just, I don't know, play games, I guess.
That kind of the way it was with us, you know. We had a lot of company, and Mother would fix dinner, you know, and my grandmother, and they just lived a mile from our place. And she'd have grandkids there, maybe 4 or 5 of them, and that's what I always enjoyed going there and playing with them.
What did you play? You said you played cards. What kind of cards did you play?
Chinese checkers, dominoes, I think mostly. Mm-hmm. My folks didn't allow us to wear these cards.
Oh, really? And why did they?
They thought it was
a right religion.
Religion.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And I think we were the first ones in our community that had a radio, and I never will forget my teacher. They lived about a mile and a half of
Baker.
And when he'd go home at night, you could hear him sing, how do you do, folks, or whatever that went like. But, oh, he really enjoyed it. We had those earphones to put on.
I remember my dad was one of had a radio. I think the first one was kind of like a horn. or something. Anyway, my grandmother, my mother's mother, when she would hear this, she said, that's witchcraft. You know, this radio coming over. That was beyond her. She thought that was exotic.
Wonder what they take now. It's going on, goodness.
This computer business.
When we kids were growing up, just small, there'd be at my grandma's, we'd have a little brooder house out there, and we'd have a playhouse in there. We'd make mud cakes, go up the chicken house and get some eggs. Grandpa.
Maybe she don't know what a brooder house is.
I do know what a brooder house. We had to look at the barn. Yeah. I was always scared to go in there though, because it was kind of dark. And I was like, oh, that doesn't look very good. I would need to play in there.
That's a stove with bricks and things. Oh, we hacked like we were baking.
Did you ever get in trouble for taking those eggs to make mud pies? Yeah, what happened then?
I'm the oldest grandchild, and I got by pretty lucky with my uncle Carter and my other cousin. They were, it wasn't a cousin, it was a friend, a neighbor, old Martha. Right. See them? Those two were the oldest ones. And we come to town on Saturday nights. That's something we always did. Came to town.
Couldn't find a parking place.
Drag Maine.
Up and down.
See how
this
many boys?
This used to be really a busy town on Saturday nights.
Did you ever go to play parties or square dances or anything like that? No?
I don't even think.
My folks wouldn't let us go to dances.
Yeah,
here either.
We never.
They had them in the old country, but they were different, Mama said.
Yeah, they were different than these, is what they said.
The boys and the girls didn't dance together. Each one danced by themselves. So I don't know how to dance. I could jump, but...
Well, and you do pretty good modern dance stuff, because that's pretty much what
that's
you
do.
We'd be all right. Did they ever have, we've heard some people talk about rabbit drives. Did they ever have any rabbit drives here?
Yes,
what was that one?
Right here.
What did they do? How did that work?
Well,
as far as I know, the
farmers
got together and they spaced off so many miles, I guess.
And they were circles, of them. I don't know.
They had so many acres or miles, I don't know just how big. But they had enough people that they could be close together. And they started out on the further end of it. And they all had, I guess they had guns, didn't they?
I guess that's the only way they...
Rabbit drives, but wolf drives. The
wolves now, I remember.
The coyotes, by the way. I don't think we have that many wolves around here. I think it's mostly coyotes.
Yeah.
But anyway, the closer, come from all four sides, I think. And when they got close enough that they could... I think they didn't catch them. They shot them. And I guess everybody picked some they wanted. Some took them home and fed them the meat to the chickens, chopped it up, And I guess some even used to eat them.
I remember they could cut the rabbit, if they would catch a rabbit, they cut the ears off, and they would bring them, they would collect them, you know, and bring them in, and they'd get so much for those rabbit ears, and for coyotes, I
think. For the skins, they'd skin them. And
I know my brother was a kind of trapper, like, he set traps. And
yeah, they skinned the coyotes,
yeah.
But not the
I don't rabbit. Know, they sold the skins.
Whoever wanted, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't go out to go along with them, but that's the way I understood that they had it for rabbits and then they had it for coyotes, and I guess maybe they, by the time they got close together, they had both kinds in that ring.
I know that.
But there were so many coyotes, they got in, you know, where the cattle were, and when they had baby calves, they'd tear them up and all. So they had to have them coyote drives. And
I don't know if that would be legal anymore.
Maybe not. Well, there aren't no more rabbits out in the, on the farm. I mean,
we used to have a lot of rabbits. You remember they'd get the
I know. That's why there were too many. They ate up the ate up things that belonged to the cattle. You know, that's why they had those drives. But now there aren't hardly any rabbits, and those that are the coyotes that are around, they don't eat them.
We used to eat cottontails.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, they were good.
Did they have rabbit stew?
No, we fried it.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
That's when they were young, you know, those cottontails.
I never fished rabbit.
I don't know.
Cottontails, they were more tender.
Yeah, that's
than a rabbit.
Can you recall any sort of public assistance type of things in Shattuck to help people who were maybe didn't have as much money or going through a rough time during the Depression, like maybe through a church or through a government agency or anything like that?
The WPA came in here in, what, about 32 or 34, maybe, I don't know, it was in the 30s, and they start at the government. This was government project, and they start building roads. Is what I know of, and I don't know what else they do.
Yeah, I think that's how this 283
would be.
It was they approved it. The 30s they started in. They would hire the people to with their horses and their. Whatever they would move dirt with, you know, they would pay them so much for coming out and working.
Did you have husbands, brothers, dads that worked for the WPA?
My dad was on the road, was a road boss for, I don't know, 100 years, so, and he worked with horses, but that wasn't with the WPA. Yeah. He was paid by the county or something.
Yeah, and my dad.
They keep the county roads up. But they were all their roads at the time. But I didn't have any.
That did help a lot, though, a lot of people.
Yes,
they could earn money that way.
Yeah.
And then the up at Boiling Springs, they had a where the boys went to. What did they call that? Where the young boys could go and earn. Stay there, and I think they must have built up Boiling Springs.
Like a CCC camp?
Yes.
Yeah, CCC.
Yeah.
But I remember when the WPA started, and they were hiring people and asking, you know, what all they own, and this and that. And this one guy said, now this story, this one guy said, one of the men, they always brought their lunches, and he had an orange and a banana in his dinner pail with other things, and they fired him. But now I don't know if that's true. They said he didn't.
He had too much lunch.
Yeah, he had too much lunch. And I don't know whether that was true or not. Story.
What was the general feeling towards Franklin Roosevelt?
Well, the farmers liked him. Yes. He was the man that I think they kind of got them on their feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think that there was very many that didn't like them.
Uh-huh. Yes. I still remember when the folks, you know, when the banks closed, it scared everybody to death, you know, when he first,
yeah.
the first day or two, you know, he could. But then he really helped the farmers and I think all the people.
He's good. He was good for that time. He was good.
Do you think living through something like the Dust Bowl changed how you view the environment and Mother Nature, seasons changing?
Not really, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I think it just makes you stronger if you live through something.
Yeah. Know. What would you say would be the most endearing or enduring, I guess, a characteristic that you got from living that? What do you think something that has stuck with you because you lived through the Dirty 30s?
We had outhouses. Now, if the conditions would be that if we would, a lot of people would have to go back and live like mm-hmm. that, I think we would know all about it. We would...
The older people.
But the younger ones, they wouldn't.
Yeah, the younger ones, I don't think, would...
It'd be hard.
Be awfully hard on them.
Would you want to have to go back and live through it again?
No.
No.
But,
I'm too old to go back and start.
It's not like they're having the electric crunch out, uh-huh. you know.
The REA, you know, when that started.
Out in California. Well, now, if they wouldn't have any electricity, they wouldn't have to get back to some other basic thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have, because some people have carbide lights.
Yeah.
And, but the electricity, I don't think the REA.
This
was in the 1930s when the REAs?
We didn't get electricity until
1948. Yeah,
oh.
around 48 or
not. Oh, I think my folks got it I was working.
There were some of the different territories had
it
earlier.
Had it.
But we got it in 48. That's when I got my... electric appliances. That's why I remember.
I was going to ask you, what was the first thing you got after you got electricity?
The refrigerator, and it is a Gibson brand, and I'm still using it.
Oh my goodness!
It was bought in 1948, and it's supposed to outlast me.
Do you guys remember when you first got electricity?
I was working. Now when we got married, 55. Years ago, well, we couldn't get electricity up there where we were living for about 6 months, and it was difficult.
It was. Oh, it was.
I don't remember what year we got.
And our first refrigerator was wasn't by electricity, but by gas.
Oh, you had one of them. Now the folks, I think they got the, theirs right up. It seems to me it was in 40 or 41, because I knew they got it. When they got the refrigerator, that was quite something.
Well, I remember the ice box I had.
The old wooden ones?
Yeah, mine was a metal one, and I'd always have to go to town and get some ice to keep some food cold in that mm-hmm. box. Mm-hmm. You don't dare chip any off, so it lasts longer.
Yeah. And before we had the ice boxes, we had a kind of a little heating around our well.
Yeah.
And the water would go through this barrel, and mm-hmm. we'd keep like a butter and things.
Yeah.
We'd keep it in that cold water, you know, so it wouldn't go come down. That's how we kept our butter. Down basement, we, you know, better cream and things. Yeah.
Well, that windmill was going all the time, pumping
yes.
water, and it
fresh
pumped into that part, and then it was piped out in the stock tank.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I was.
And it all that fresh cold water come in there, and that's where we kept our things cool, like milk and cream, and put it in buckets and set it in there when we made butter.
Even meat. I think we had meat hanging in that.
Huh?
With meat.
Oh, well, maybe. I remember
going out with
a lot of fun doing that.
I don't think you do that anymore.
Churn our own butter.
We churned our
butter for years.
Made cottage cheese and all that stuff out of milk and cream.
Cheese out of cottage cheese.
Ice cream,
Bob,
a lot of cream.
How did we get everything done then?
I don't know.
Well, we didn't have as much to do. I don't think we didn't.
Well, there was a lot to do, but that we didn't go like it. We didn't have the entertainment.
All those distractions.
Yeah. We didn't have no TV, we didn't have no radio, and we just had to work.
That TV and that radio and all that stuff takes a lot of time away.
Well, how do you feel about the Dirty 30s, the Depression today? What's your general feeling about that era?
Well, we don't want it again.
No.
Not me. Well, we made it.
The farm a little different now, too.
Well,
I think that helped when they put the shelter belt in, you know, planted those trees in a row, three or four layers close. That was after the dust storms started, I think.
Yeah, I think
they had it in different, I don't know how many, how far apart on the farms they planted them.
Just
they called it a shelter belt.
They were a mile and 2 miles.
About half a mile.
What kind of trees were those? The elm trees?
There were cedar trees and
probably elm.
I don't know. There was two or three or maybe four different kinds. Mm-hmm. You can see some places yet out in the country where they never kept them up.
Or olives, you know, on that.
Yeah, and then out on the highway where Seamless or who are you?
Yeah, see the,
that where the that
tornado toward them.
You know where our road went west from the highway? Well, that house there wasn't that Seamless that built that? Right, and on the north side, there's still some trees where they had planted for shelter.
Yeah, you would be driving the driveway there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that helped from the wind blowing the dirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of things went on at that time. Can't remember it all.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
Huh?
Is there anything that I didn't ask that you want to talk about? Anything I forgot?
Well,
or didn't think of, that's probably more important. Something I didn't think of to ask.
I think we covered it, and maybe even more than that.
I think we've got everything.
Well, that's all the questions I have, unless you want to add something, Steve.
Nope. I think I'm good to go.
Thanks for talking with us.
I enjoyed it.
Well, good.